Authors afterword, Roberts and Gary. The tragedy of Amandal Aramian has been a story that has lingered in the back of my mind for many years. In fact, the earliest imagery for what would become the end of Part 1 and most of Part 2 came to me in a dream before I ever started writing fantasy fiction, sometime between 2007 and 2009. I can still recall those images as if I had lived them myself. The expedition's voyage along the icy shores of Abadal was so vivid, particularly the sailing through a tunnel of ice. Although I didn't see any Noctili, the frozen bay left a distinct impression on me. I then saw a large band move through icy caves, only to be halted at an impassable gorge, one with a bottom that was not visible, and then a descent into a crystal labyrinth that had belonged to dragons but was now abandoned. When I started working with my father, I recalled those images, but didn't put them to paper until I started coming up with Amandal's backstory sometime in 2013. We needed an explanation for Amandal's madness, so I thought, why not be the sole survivor of an expedition gone wrong? During the first novel we ever published, The Dark Necromancer, The Dragon's Legacy, Iltar and his band came across three platinum dragons. As they're preparing to attack, Amandal made a comment to the effect that he and Iltar could take on one of the three dragons all by themselves. That got me thinking about Amandal's capabilities. From there, I came up with several iterations of Amandal's tale. They were mostly the same. Sole survivor who battles a dragon and barely survives to tell the tale. Except no one believes him. While working on the companion novella Guardians of Kaldah, we gave a speculated answer to Amandal's madness, citing the substance of Solistum as a possible culprit. The context of the conversation dealt with the Malishah Nethin and why his voice was raspy. Solistum prevents Arpran magic from working. Any living tissue, even immortalized tissue it comes in contact with, cannot be healed by magic. Solistum was going to be the reason for Amandal's madness, but after careful consideration we decided we needed another explanation. Solistum could solidify his predicament, but not be the cause. Ultimately, we knew Amandal needed to be cursed, as Cornar mentions in A Prince's Errand after Caiaphas negotiates safe passage with the wild men. So we went back to the drawing board. Eventually, while designing aspects of Orithisian's monster form, we happened upon our solution. Partially. Chesareth had endowed many of his followers with certain abilities, making them gods over a particular element or an aspect of reality. A god of terror, I remember saying to my father, and instead of manipulating water or something like that, he makes people go insane, not by magic, but by a substance that physically alters one's mind, an orange haze. But others were also affected by the maddening mist. We were partway through the novel when we came up with the Tuladine fruits, Umbiliums and Kisalix. The Tuladine are otherworldly, and the vegetation within the roost is different than what is currently spread across Kaldah. Much of Amandal's behavior in our original iteration of our series reminded me of someone hyped up on caffeine. That inspired much of the Umbilium's properties. They're essentially all-natural Tuladine caffeine pills. Yet Amandal's situation still needed to be unique, so we decided to combine the two. Amandal was the only person who ate the Umbiliums and succumbed to Orithisian's innate ability. Tardalim, the prison, has its own story, and you can read about it in the next section. But to boil it down, Tardalim's structure was inspired by combining a Rubik's Cube and multiple Dyson's spheres in the form of shells nested within each other to make a constantly shifting spherical puzzle, with each level adjusting at intervals that, when plotted, resembled an asymptotic curve. I know that's a mouthful, but that's what you get when two engineers design a fantasy setting. Of all the novels we've worked on, The Prisoner of Tartalim has been the most challenging. But I'm glad we persevered. It was a tale that needed to be written, and the aspects of Kaldar we've learned from it will make Tales of the Amulet all the better. Robert Zangari, Salt Lake City, 2021.